In our new station, we steamed slowly westwards, where, low down on the horizon, the sun shone red through the mist, until about 3:30 p.m, when we left the battlecruisers to seek our own anchorage off Granton. In doing so, we passed close to the ships of the combined fleets now anchored near Inchkeith. A few minutes later, at sunset, the German ships, obeying an order from the British Commander-in-Chief, hauled down their ensign for the last time. Life on board Venturius that evening must have been much the same as that on most of the other British destroyers anchored in the Forth. After the toast of the King had been honoured, we drank another to D'Artac. Then came the rowdy games and a good deal of laughter, which grew noisier as the evening wore on, and more childish in proportion to the seniority of the officers joining in. Some of us found a good deal of innocent amusement in satisfying the curiosity of one very inexperienced officer, who happened to be present and wanted to know the names of the German ships. He failed to spot anything incongruous as he noted down the time-honoured variants of the names of the two most famous battle cruisers, Sidelights and Dirtflinger. But smelled a rat when we solemnly suggested that two of the battleships were called Frederick the Grosser and Grosser Cure First. Towards midnight, I went on deck and looked over the dark waters of the Forth to where the combined fleets lay at anchor. Never before had such a great force been assembled under one command, and probably never again would so many ships be under the orders of a single admiral. Out there in the stream lay about 60 battleships and battle cruisers, about an equal number of cruisers and light cruisers, and upwards of 200 destroyers beside auxiliary ships of various sorts. The surrendered fleet were one ship short in each class. Their most modern battlecruiser, Mackensen, the battleship Koenig, the light cruiser Karlsruhe, and one destroyer being absent for various reasons. As far as the destroyer was concerned, it was said that she had set out with the rest of the fleet, but had run foul of a mine off Horace Reef. We in the 20th Flotilla smiled when we heard this news, and wondered, who could have been so inconsiderate as to lay mines there? Looking towards the southern shore of the Forth, where the towers of Fettes would have been visible in daylight, about 3 miles away, I felt it would have been pleasant to have called in at Glencourse, but we were at 2 hours' notice to sail, and no shore leave was granted. The determination which I had expressed while at Fettes to be present when the British and German fleets met for the next time after Jutland had been realised, though not in the way I had hoped, and it would have been good to have all my friends know that I had been at the final meeting. It had been an historic day, but few of us felt much satisfaction at seeing a once proud fleet submit to the humiliation of surrender.